With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 355, The Cloverfield Paradox. I keep wanting to call it the Cloverfield Practice.
I keep thinking experience.
Maybe because they should have.
You mean the script?
Or something.
Yeah. I keep wanting to say particle.
Okay.
Yeah, because yeah, it was fair. The
I can see
was
that.
Called God Particle.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I get that. Yeah. But, well, before we dive in, let's go around the table. Let's get right to it. We'll go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And returning is
Chris. And I have a shameless plug for myself.
Absolutely.
My regular podcast is the Blues Hockey Podcast. And this coming Friday, the 16th. We are celebrating our 100th podcast.
Hey!
We
are congratulations.
Doing so live at...
Look at you.
The Blue Note Sports Bar on Lindbergh, where we're going to have tons of giveaways and then watch the Blues beat the bejesus out of the Dallas Stars.
They're at 100 and did a live podcast.
We're slackers.
We're at 355.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Since I've done a couple live podcasts, they are terrible.
We did one.
Because people think, like, yeah. I can't hear it on the radio. I'm like, no, it's live.
Oh,
we're
did. That's right. I forgot that.
I think
that was
he needs for an audience,
there.
Though.
I was there.
There's a picture.
We have a picture to prove
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
That was the origination of
the
noise.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I described Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should go back.
Congratulations on 100.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry to tangent in the middle of your plug. Yeah.
No, that's why I'm here. I fit in well.
I own a Blues Hockey Podcast T-shirt.
Yeah, we minorly trademark infringed on a logo and made some.
Oh,
shirts.
Is that the club?
Yes,
It's the Blues Club.
Which then Joe stole his stolen idea for an idea for the Real Spoilers.
It is brilliant.
It's a Spoilers Club.
Yeah.
I think at some point it's no longer a copyright infringement. It's like a Xerox of a Xerox.
Yes. Oh, no. We were copying off him. We didn't know he didn't have the trademark.
Yeah, I had no idea that I own
a Bullet Club. Go talk to him.
That I own a Bullet Club t-shirt that looks just like that. I had no clue.
What's funny when you're like, oh, he's at 100 and he's already doing a live episode.
Yeah.
The clip out, we just recorded, I think, our 42nd. And
are you guys going live?
We have a personal appearance.
Wow. Are you serious?
We got invited to... We got invited to the other podcast I host with my wife is about an exercise bike called Peloton. For people that don't know, know, because she's on it right now, telling us to turn off
turn
the internet
because
it's screwing up her streaming. And one of the Peloton store in Chicago invited us up.
Awesome. What are we doing wrong?
Is that the bike that's got like the interactive screen and all that?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, she loves it. Clearly, I've never...
What, are you doing your first ride in Chicago, though?
No.
What? You're not doing it?
You need to.
I thought that was a thing. You were going to
do it.
Look at him. He's like,
yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
That's a thing she talked about.
Yeah, I was like, they must have had a conversation about that.
I'm like, I'll tag along. I'll be while you're, you know, it's in a mall. So I'm like, this works out great. You can hang out with everybody and I'll
go to the mall.
I'll go get an Annie Ann's pretzel.
So you're going to Woodfield.
You will do the opposite.
I don't know which mall it's at.
That's the giant one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the only mall in the country bigger than Woodfield is the one in Minneapolis.
It's Mall of America. Gotcha. But yeah, so
We have a personal appearance. How
the,
about that?
The site of the very first WCW Monday Nitro.
Oh, correct.
That's my only one. That's all I'm going to do.
Hey there, Lex Luger.
I got one.
Speaking of Cloverfield.
Yeah.
So the Cloverfield practice particle paradox.
So we should talk about the background of this film. So for people that don't know, this was not written as a Cloverfield movie.
Shocking. Much like the last one.
Oh, boy, am I shocked.
Yes.
That one wasn't written as a Cloverfield movie?
No.
Okay.
No.
I didn't know that. I thought that it was supposed to be.
No.
All
right. No, it still had like a... Well, no, originally it was supposed to be a nuclear blast, right? And then they were like, hey, we could change this to an alien invasion.
Yes.
Okay.
And make it a Cloverfield.
That is a hell of a movie, though.
It
that
is.
Performance
that's
by John Goodman.
It's all three of them.
I know, but
it's good.
That
is really good.
Like a chamber piece. It's just three people.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yep.
12 Cloverfield Lane?
10 Cloverfield.
It is 10. Okay.
I think the only thing we didn't like about it was the fact that they spoil the movie.
Right, yeah.
That would have been a great reveal.
Cloverfield.
Release
oh,
it like
sure.
Live, Die, Repeat. You know, change it when it's on video or
well,
whatever. But
I also think what we initially thought is like, oh, this is like the Cloverfield title is just going to be
anthology.
Like these anthology
yeah.
movies.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I'm down with that. Yeah. Like,
did we know that before 10 Cloverfield Lane?
No.
Because
no.
I was going to bring that up as we started talking about this movie. Spoiler alert to this, I have issues with the Cloverfield Paradox.
I think everybody does.
But I didn't have a problem with 10 Cloverfield Lane after JJ came out and said, look, man, I'm going to make a ton of movies. They're not going to be linear succession of each other, but they're all going to be in this realm of Cloverfield and
the Cloverfield
monster,
monster yeah.
It would have been, they definitely did it to sell tickets, which was maybe a smart marketing move. And it's a good enough movie to warrant it. Like, people, you don't go see it and go, ugh. I mean, it was good,
no,
right?
Yeah. Oh, really no, it was
but
fantastic
it's what,
movie.
The last scene of the movie, you see the mailbox.
Yeah.
That's how they tell you they're on Cloverfield
Lane.
Like, that's the reveal. Would have been a great, like, it would have been a. The Shyamalan, what's that thing called? Switch? Stitch?
Split.
Snatch, split. It would have been that. It's the split ending.
I just wanted to see you keep naming words.
But I
that was great.
Yeah. But, right? That's exactly. Split is the last.
Snatch. Now, Split was an Easter movie, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, Split, you get into the. Is it a post credit or is it the last?
I think it's
scene
post.
Of the movie.
It's the last scene of the movie.
Or it's the last.
It's okay. Not a, where they reveal that it's an
they cut to the music.
Right,
yeah,
right,
so
right.
It's like,
see
that's the same exact thing. Like, it's that type of reveal, last thing in the movie, where everyone, what, they realized, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It would have been great, but it didn't ruin the movie because it was good enough. But so this movie, just to read this little paragraph from Wikipedia, is the film was
based.
Are you
stealing my job right now?
This is not the synopsis. This is the background. The film was based on God Particle, a spec script from Orin Uziel, which had a main plot of space station crew but unconnected to Cloverfield. The script was acquired by Paramount and Bad Robot, JJ. It had been initially planned as part of Paramount's low-budget Insurge distribution label, but the following folded its label, so I guess it turned into Paramount. And then eventually, so on and so forth, Netflix picked it up and distributed it.
Okay.
So it was completely unrelated, and they tagged on. Paramount bought it, and then they tagged
got it.
On
I got it.
Cloverfield
I
to
had
salvage.
That vibe the minute I saw it.
Yeah.
Who directed the first one? Was it Andrew Gar? Not
no,
Andrew.
It's Matt Reeves.
Matt Reeves did that? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So for those that
I love
sure,
that first one.
That first
oh,
one
so
that
good.
That first one is so smart.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because you don't know what like they that trailer first hit, I was like, oh, they're making another Godzilla. Like that's
right.
What they're doing. And you never it's all I think it's it is
or Voltron. Do you remember what everybody said it was a Voltron?
Voltron.
People thought
like,
it was Voltron.
Why?
People thought it was a Cthulhu movie.
Yeah. Well, that's closer than Voltron.
Right.
Like, I was like, what?
Nothing about that to be
it's giving
Voltron.
You the sense that this is, oh, it's Voltron. It's like,
dun, dun, dun,
I'm pretty
dun,
sure
dun,
it's not Voltron.
It's not Voltron.
I do love me some Voltron. But
did anybody here play the ARG?
No.
That's how I got sucked into Cloverfield was there was, for months leading up to the release, there was, and it started with a website that was just 1808.com.
Yeah.
And it was three postcards that were still shots from the movie, from the party at the apartment. And it dove into this whole backstory.
Starring T.J. Miller.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it dove into the whole backstory of the parent company called Taggarado. And they
that was
this.
A thing back then.
Right.
Like, because I believe the first movie I remember seeing that for was AI.
Yep.
They had a
but
whole, like,
didn't Blair Witch
did.
The whole
but here's
Blair
what's weird.
Blair Witch.
The
but documentary.
AI movie had not a damn thing to do with the ARG.
No. Yeah, no. But AI was interactive.
Oh,
yeah.
A game.
Like,
I see.
Like,
The game crazy, would call you.
It would call you. It would email you back. There were things hidden around the internet for you to find. Yeah. It was crazy.
Westworld does that now.
Blair Witch.
Much the
really
same.
Really built a lot.
Yeah.
That documentary on the town, it's like, whoa.
And Donnie Darko.
Yep. So the Cloverfield ARG was much like the AI one, except that the movie was a cohesive conclusion of this ARG.
Yeah.
But it introduced Tagarado, which was this Japanese parent company that owned this company called Slusho, which if you are a JJ fan at all, it's everything. It's essentially Slurpee.
Yeah. Okay.
And
it's like those candy bars from Lost, right? The show Apollo or what's
Apollo?
Apollo bar. Yeah.
The secret ingredient in Slusho was this thing called seabed nectar, and the whole thing revolved around there was video of this Tagarado company drilling into the seafloor, harvesting this stuff, and it awakes something that takes down this oil rig, and it's making its way from the middle of the Atlantic towards New York City.
Okay. Yep.
I like that.
So you had this whole backstory of the sea monster and, like, what is it? Things like that.
I like that. I've never actually heard any of the...
It's just brilliant. Yeah. It was brilliant marketing. So, and that brought you literally up to, like, the game basically concluded on a Thursday, and the next day was 1-1808 Cloverfields and Bears.
Cool. Yeah, I like it.
Interesting. I remember so this. The first one is... We're like the shaky cam thing wasn't as prevalent yet. Like, we haven't gotten the Paranormal Activity, we haven't gotten to that, but we've had Blair Witch, which I think was like really it. Like, there was nearly nothing that came out after Blair Witch that used.
Yeah, I kind of remember Cloverfield as being like kind of the first found footage movie since Blair Witch.
That's probably correct.
Not going to double down on that, but I don't remember anything.
Well, a lot of people took over the faux documentary style, but found footage, trying to sell it as this is picked up and found from the destroyed footage. Like, there's not many that have done
that. But this is one of the first ones that actually added a pretty hefty production value to it.
Yes.
Like the post effects. I mean, to be able to add the level of effects that they added to this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, when you watch it, it's like it's shaky cam and it's
but
found
you've
footage,
also got little monsters
really
effects
got
in
really
the shaky cam. Yeah.
Good special effects.
Yeah. And because of the quality of the cam, they were able to blend it into real life. Whereas now with 4K cameras or 8K cameras, special effects are so clear and they have the uncanny valley and everything.
Yeah. Well, also they
Blair Witch didn't have the head of the Statue of Liberty. Bumping
down
the street.
Yeah.
That is such an iconic poster.
Yeah.
And just that scene in the trailer where you see the head of the Statue of Liberty come rolling down the street.
Right.
It's great. Yeah,
it's
going
amazing.
By. Love it. I'll never
it's really
forget
good.
That.
But that one, like, you never see the monster, and I don't think you see him until the very end.
You see him halfway through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, he's coming around a building
but
or
isn't
something?
It?
Well, you see glimpses of him.
Right.
But the first real shot you get is right before they duck into the subway. Right before they duck into the subway, they come across the military, and the face of the monster comes over the top of the building and, like, basically screams at you through the screen.
Yeah.
And, like, as soon as he comes in, they duck down.
That's where you lose Lizzie Kaplan.
Yeah. And then you don't see the monster again until there's the chopper, like, news reports of him knocking over skyscrapers, and then the very end where they take out the chopper.
Okay. Which, into my earlier point, and remind me to come back around to it, is on the shaky cam found footage, the monster looks really good.
Yes.
Sure.
When you see it in 4K, we'll leave that for later.
I don't think it looked that... Like, are you talking about this one?
Yes.
No.
I was like, don't include that scene.
For
that was
this
a
movie,
joke.
For what this was, I did not think it looked that bad. Like, honestly, I didn't hate this movie.
I
was kind of with it.
I guess partially because, like, the fact that it was on Netflix.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about it.
My expectations, like,
were
my
way
standards
lower.
Drop.
When
if
you don't
this,
pay for a movie and you can watch on Netflix.
If this had been in theaters, I would have been livid.
Yeah. Yes.
I felt like, honestly, I felt like this was a bad Sci-Fi Channel movie.
Yep.
With a really good budget.
Yep.
I thought it was a good Sci-Fi
and a
Channel
crazy
movie.
Cast.
Like,
yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, when I say bad sci-fi movie, I don't mean like the
their standard is
their
bad.
Standard
yeah. okay.
Saturday night, you know, premiere movie when, you know, sci-fi was like always they had a movie like every Saturday night.
Sharknado.
Sure. And this is like I was like, oh, it's like that.
Top
but
tier,
you know, with
better.
Good actors
with a higher
budget.
Yeah.
Because
they're doing to the Sci-Fi Channel what they did to Hallmark at Christmas time.
Basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I will say, and I'm very excited to hear Chris, because of his love of the series already and all that history, I'm excited to hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
Me personally, though, I had such low expectations because I watched it, you know, yesterday. So, like, there's been a week of hate on it.
Right.
And I watched it and I'm like, okay. I mean, it seemed like a serviceable space horror movie to me, but I had such low expectations. So, it's not great, but.
But, you know, there's definitely some.
There's some hiccups.
Messy connective tissue for this.
Yes. They always have timeline issues because.
Well, once you start getting it, once you start,
I know
once
where
you
you're
start,
going.
Because first, once you start adding a timeline to something that didn't have a timeline, you're going to have problems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like they didn't have smartphones when that came out,
right?
Like I think I saw the first iPhone in real life at the movie screen.
But can you say that maybe in that reality they hadn't gotten to the iPhone yet? And that's so that's
okay. Well, but if this takes place at the same time, they have.
But we
all
don't
that
know.
Stuff.
But we don't. But maybe in that reality, Steve Jobs doesn't make the iPhone.
But they have it. They have that stuff.
He's saying it's a different dimension.
You're already diving into the new movie by just going through.
Oh, I see. What I'm saying. We don't know that we started in our timeline.
Correct.
It is an alternate reality.
We don't know what timeline we're in.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
right?
And, so that,
and if people
like,
can change, inventors can't change. I mean, it's a valid point.
So, we get to the beginning.
Yeah. So we'll go through the. Obviously, the first Cloverfield is the giant hand cam monster movie. Mm-hmm. The second Cloverfield is a. Tight.
The opposite.
Quite opposite.
Where we don't get the reveal of the monster, the aliens or whatever they are until the very end of the movie. I take that back. We know that something has happened. They never really tell us what has happened. And because John Goodman's like, you can't go out there. Like they killed everybody.
Right.
You know what?
We don't know if he's lying or what's going on.
I got to say, backing up to your alternate timeline theory.
Yeah.
It actually makes me like it more.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I know.
Like, it's kind of into it.
It kind of retcons all the yeah. Like I'm like, okay,
it's a whole different universe.
Yeah,
like
we don't ever really know which. Yeah,
or none of them
because there's some major plot points that change in that reality. So
we have no
all
idea.
All plays into why I hate this movie.
Okay, we'll get
there. I will say I'm a nerd for.
Oh, we know.
Alternate dimensions.
Yeah,
like sure. If you can show me an alternate dimension where Superman lands on Russia, Batman gets a Green Lantern ring instead of Hal Jordan. Like, stuff like that. I was like, yeah,
I love time travel and alternate dimensions. But it causes them. I mean, like in Back to the Future style. You know what I mean?
Like, different. So, like, back
like
to the.
Like, butterfly effect type stuff.
Yeah, right. That's alternate dimensions
of
your
not.
Stuff.
No, it's not. That's time. Like, alternate dimensions is.
I think it's kind of a distinction without a difference.
Yeah.
Right.
When you go back in time and change things, that's an alternate timeline. It does create
an alternate timeline. Okay.
So, by your theory,
are you saying.
You're splitting some pretty dirty hair.
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm clear. So, if you're saying that you go back to.
Hang on. Joe needs to push up his glasses.
I know.
Actually.
If you go back to 1985, right, and Biff gets the thing.
Yeah.
Does your timeline continue or does the original timeline cease to exist?
No, it does. You would never be able to go back and you would never be born if you erased.
That's my question.
Yeah,
well, that's always
that timeline
that's
existed.
But that's always the debate in a time travel movie. Is it a loop?
Right.
Or is it
a flat line?
Or are you creating branches?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
if the timeline erased,
you would almost
erase.
Call it a paradox.
Would I?
Yes.
Oh.
Space
well done.
Time. Wow.
I'm not clapping for you.
I didn't have to.
So the second Dan's
like, I don't need your approval.
I eat this stuff up, though. Like, what I was going to say is, like, the time machine, both the original and the remake. You know, and the remake deals more with going back and changing things. And do you have the same fate or destiny? Anything that has to do with, even, like, Project Almanac, which wasn't good, but I'm like, ooh, this is interesting. Like, it had me at that concept. Anything that deals with that time travel and changing things.
There's nothing about
that. Did you ever see Butterfly Effect?
Yeah, Ashton Kutcher and Brittany
I hate
Murphy.
Ashton Kutcher, but damn, that movie was
great. It was a good
Yeah, I love that idea.
Did you
going
see
back
the,
and
did you
stepping
see the
on
alternate ending where he chokes himself.
Yes.
With an umbilical cord.
Yeah. I refuse to see the sequel though.
No, that's fair. That's fine.
I'm like, that should just be called "We Want More Money." Listen,
I love that idea though that you can go back and even the flapping of a butterfly's wings or stepping on a butterfly can change the entire future. That is fascinating.
Yeah.
I
it's
love it.
Super annoying because you're just like, I'm just gonna stand still.
That Simpsons Treehouse of Horror where Simpson.
If you ever go back in time, don't step.
And after he does, he just starts killing everything. It's so great.
No, well, yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
So the second one is the tight, contained inside the bunker. You don't get the reveal until the very end that was telling the truth.
It's a stage play.
I mean, basically, it really is. So now this is it's a strange marketing strategy because there was nobody knew this existed.
Yeah, this is a marketing strategy.
Yeah,
the movie is a marketing strategy.
Right. So during the Super Bowl, they released the ad. They're like, oh, by the way, as soon as this game is over, it's on Netflix.
What a genius strategy, though, because
Brilliant.
No one knew anything, and you've got one of the biggest televised events, and here's a trailer for this movie that is a known franchise. I mean, that's just
And it's on Netflix
brilliant.
For free right now.
Tonight.
Brilliant.
Do you remember what the tagline during the commercial was?
I didn't watch Super Bowl.
This is going to come up when I start talking about it.
I was watching Heat.
It was billed as, find out why they're here.
Yeah.
Well, you do. Yeah, I mean, you do find out why they're here. So anyway, so the movie starts and we've got, I feel like I recognize this woman as maybe Moneypenny from the new James Bond stuff. I'm just guessing.
She's like, really good. I like her.
It's a crazy cast.
Oh, no, that's Gugu Mbatha-Raw. She was in, she was in San Junipero, Black Mirror.
She was
Plumette, the feather duster maid in the new Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
She's been in a bunch of other stuff.
I can't remember, but she was in that
San Junipero episode, one of the best.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's a great, I love that show so much.
It is good.
So her and her husband are stuck, and I'm assuming it's Britain.
New York City.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. They're both British. I just assumed they were in Britain.
Yep.
And
it's an international city.
It is an international city. That's true. There are these random power outages, and they hint that there is some sadness between the two, and they don't really get into what has happened. But she's given an opportunity to go to this space station and probably save the world with the power crisis. And they're like, if we can get this thing to work, we can get it to jumpstart, we can make, I'm assuming, clean energy, and we will be okay. And her husband's just kind of like, you gotta go. Like, how can you not go? And she was like, yeah, you're right.
I liked his logic of, like, if you stay, we're going to die. So
right.
If you go and die, it's not any different.
Not
so you might as well
deal.
Go and try and
you
save
may
us.
May as well
yeah.
do it.
And remember, we're in the future. I think in this movie, we're 2024 or 2028.
Right. Yeah.
It's set in 2028, so I think it's probably 2024.
So Cloverfield's supposed to take place in 2020?
Nope. 2008.
Yeah.
1808.
This is what I'm saying, though. Like, they're all alternate dimensions.
Oh, we'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah, that doesn't quite add up.
But it does when
it does.
The guy that played Martin Luther King gives you the. I'm sorry, not Martin Luther King, but
David Oyelowo.
Sure. The Donald.
Pleasance.
No.
Trump.
No.
Glover.
No, it's Loge.
Oh, Loge.
Donald Loge.
Oh, Donald.
Donald Loge.
Okay.
When he gives you the
Who's Donald Pleasance? Why did I say that?
What do you mean, who's Donald Pleasance?
It's just reminding
me.
He's
the guy from Halloween. He's the guy from Halloween.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I'm
he's
like,
the
why
president from that's Escape like, from New York.
That's
he's Dr. No.
I gotcha.
He's almost as bad as from The Great Escape.
That's not true, yeah.
That's almost as bad as asking Joe, like, who's Steve Austin?
I know. I just couldn't
The Million Dollar Man.
I was trying to think.
You said one. Yeah, okay, you didn't go that way. You didn't go that direction. Good for you.
That was Ted DiBiase. There's two.
Oh, God damn it.
So we get this crew together, and it's Chris O'Dowd. I was just like, yeah, Chris O'Dowd, let's do it. I love Chris O'Dowd.
Why didn't he ask him if he plugged in the machine?
I know.
I don't get
did you turn
it
on and off again? That's very simple.
Daniel Brühl. I'm like, why is he in this movie? I love him as an actor.
I was shocked
so good.
To see Daniel Brühl. Like that was the one where I was like, really?
What a weird role
what
for him.
What a weird choice, but okay.
They needed a German.
Yeah.
Then there's like Daniel Brühl.
He's just such a great actor. I don't know if they thought maybe this would take off originally.
I honestly think they thought they had something.
He's so good.
And once they got made, they're like, put it on Netflix. Like, we got nothing.
Still one of my favorite villains ever in a Marvel movie.
Who, Zemo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was good stuff.
I think I've already said it on here before, but just the way that he used his brains and intelligence, no superpowers, he's a human, and manipulated them.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Brilliant.
Yep. We'll see him again.
Yep.
Captain America 4. So we've got all, you know, we've got, and then I recognize the gal from China as well.
Oh, from House of Flying Daggers. She was in Crouching Tiger.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've
that
got
is
all
Zhang Zi.
Oh, so we've got all of these, all of the nations who are working together on this space station to get this thing to work.
Mm-hmm. Before like a world war breaks out over energy.
Correct. So while they test it once and it does not work. Like they think they've got it and then it overloads and they shut it down and they have to figure it. They've got this weird gyroscope that I was just like, yeah, man, that's fine.
Well, that's for navigation.
Science-y. Yeah. Cool.
The MacGuffin device.
Right.
That's their compass, though.
Yeah, which is fine. So
it's important.
It's super important.
It's their flux capacitor.
Yeah, you know, because it glows.
Right.
Right, and spins.
And spins.
And spins.
Ooh.
This does something.
Right. So then we get Donald Loge on BBC, you know, BBC One or whatever, and he's just like, look, what they're doing is, in theory, a great idea. We don't know what the ramifications are going to be. We don't know. And then I did think this was weird. He's like, it could unleash demons. And the one gal's like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, did you say demons? And he was like, yes.
Parademons.
She was like, moving
or
on.
He also said something besides that.
Monsters,
This is important.
Okay. Yeah.
What he says is it could release demons, monsters, even sea beasts.
Right.
Yes, that's
and
right.
He also says it can go across time. It could go back in time. Right. It could release stuff in the past. It could release stuff today. We don't know. And the what I do.
Dr. Deus Ex Machina.
Tell
yeah.
us more. And I like the gal in the news where she was just like right. She was like Tucker Carlson, where he's just like, all right, moving on. We're just going to go ahead and move to the next story because I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, what a profit.
Right.
Thanks, Professor Crazy.
Yeah.
Next, stocks.
We've got Emmett Brown on the line. So they try to, I think, I'm trying to think. So,
oh, dear.
I know.
they basically have enough power to try it
one more time.
And it's either it works or they're SOL.
Well, they have three more. After the misfire, they have three more.
They have three more chances to get it to work? Okay. Yeah. So
I just watched this movie last night / this morning. I fell asleep three times.
I watched it in a hotel room on a laptop, and none of it stuck in my head.
Yeah. I could not stop falling asleep. I'm like, this.
I didn't really.
I'm with you. But I also, like I said, I was like,
yeah, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, okay.
You know what kept me awake during this movie?
What's that?
Rage.
Yeah, I love that. That's the best when someone has a passion for something and they totally screw the pooch. It's like.
Okay, so they're hinting that Daniel Brühl is kind of.
Well, the Russian, because Germans
that's
are,
what it
Germans
is.
Are
that's
attacking what it is. The Russians.
Yeah. Right.
And so, of course, the Russian guy's like, you're making this misfire, giving them time to attack.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And Brühl's just like, what are you talking about? Like, that's insane. So
maybe in another life.
Maybe. So they try again and it works. Briefly,
sort of.
Mm-hmm. And then it works briefly, yeah. And then there's an accident. Everybody comes to, and they're just like, "Where are we?" Like, because they can't find the Earth. They're just kind of spinning out of control.
And see, like up until this point, I was pretty fascinated because, again, I don't know the mythology as much and everything, but like, I was pretty fascinated. Like, wait a minute, the Earth is gone. Are they gone? Is the Earth gone? I'm like, what's going on here? Like,
Where are they?
I'm very interested in this whole and particle acceleration. I'm like,
and the crew is split because half the crew is like, we blew up the Earth.
Yeah,
and the other half's like, that is not what happened. We have to be somewhere.
Yeah,
and then like the other odd thing is. The mystical, magical gyroscope is gone.
Is gone. Mm-hmm. And the worms are gone.
You're right. And because the mystical, magical gyroscope is gone, they can't power up the map to figure out where the hell they are.
Right. Now all hell is breaking loose on this ship.
Right.
Chris O'Dowd loses an arm, which I thought was like, I think he's into it. Yeah. What's the point? I think Chris O'Dowd is super underrated. He does not get enough credit for being as funny as he is.
He's great in this movie.
Yeah. He's usually pretty good.
He's always good.
What does he play? He was in Molly's Game. What was it when he was like the cop and he was like a love interest in something?
Bridesmaids. He was hilarious in Bridesmaids.
Yeah, okay, because you know, like I don't have a great love for that movie, so I kind of forget about it. But like,
you're a heartless, soulless bastard. It's because Megan McCarthy.
I think it's all
Melissa McCarthy.
God, I hate her.
Oh no.
Thank you, someone else in the world. Fan club, she is. No, I think it's expectations. I hate getting... That's why I don't watch trailers anymore. When people build something up, and like I don't think I saw it opening weekend. Maybe I did. But like, it's that expectations, and then I'm like, oh, this isn't that great.
Oh, that's really funny. That's a really funny movie.
He loses an arm.
Yeah, he loses the arm.
A chick shows up on the wall.
Which I was also like, what is going on?
Like, I was kind of digging this. I liked
I love this.
I liked how all the wires were through her. And right. So they're like, how do we get her out?
It's great because...
Like, I was like, oh, that's different. That's clever. I felt like I haven't seen that in a movie before.
And this is where I knew, like, what was going on because of my love of the whole time travel and dimensions. Mm-hmm. Like, so she's been displaced. Like, in her reality, she was right at that spot, and so she went in the wall. Well, they always talk
probably
about time.
The sandwich.
She went 47 meters over there.
Yeah.
Into the wall.
But well, they've always kind of said that one of the things about time travel that doesn't really work is if you travel back in time, say a minute, you're going to be in space because the Earth has already moved past you.
Right.
Like you are like, that's the thing is like the Earth is always moving.
I've never even heard that scientific.
Yeah. Like if you go back and
we talked about it on the podcast,
we did.
I don't know if maybe you weren't here, but
if
we
go back
in
time for like an hour, you're stuck in space.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because the Earth has already moved past that point.
Good. That's an interesting point. So, but like even in the first time machine, I'm pretty sure that the time traveler mentions like, oh, I hope I don't end up in the middle of a wall or something. Like, as far as time travel's been concerned, they always mention stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they do it. So I love actually seeing that happen. And yeah, everything's through her. It's just fantastic.
This is the gal who's all painted in gold in Guardians 2.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it is. You're right.
I refer to her as not Gwendolyn Christie, but
that's fair.
So
Chris O'Dowd, and then all of a sudden they find his, like, the, I think it's Daniel Brühl, like, finds his Chris O'Dowd's arm.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we should go back that the Russian guy is having some problems.
It's weird. He's like, he got punched by...
He didn't get punched.
No, his eye just starts going
his
all
His eye
wonky.
Just starts going... Like, well, he starts messing with his face.
No. What I'm saying is he did get punched by Daniel Brühl.
He punched Daniel Brühl.
No.
Okay.
Daniel Brühl punched
him.
And so you're kind of led to believe, like, oh, is he like, is my face look okay because of the punch? Like, is it swollen?
Right.
Right.
But then you start seeing stuff move around in it.
Yeah. I liked that scene too. Like, it's almost the scene from Poltergeist where the guy starts tearing his face off.
The eyes.
Oh, no, you mean it was the scene from Poltergeist?
Kind of, yes. he's messing with it, and then his eye just, like, shoots to
left
the side.
And right.
And he's just like, what the?
And he starts talking to himself.
Yeah.
That was the part that never
I thought
paid
he was
going to
be. Yeah, I thought he was going to be taken over, possessed.
So, like, in the first Cloverfield, Lizzie Kaplan plays, like, one of the friends, and she ends up getting scratched or bitten by one of whatever this weird thing is.
The mites.
And
yeah.
Then her head ends up explode. Spoilers. Ooh. They kill poor Lizzie Kaplan. Later in the movie, like, she's taken away by the...
By
the military, and like you only see it in silhouette where she starts screaming and her head explodes. So that's what I thought we were going with. Like, so I thought something he got infected somehow.
I thought he was definitely getting possessed by whatever this thing is in space, and then he was going to, you know, turn into the bad guy, start sabotaging stuff.
Correct. But, that's where we were going to.
He was the Paul Reiser of this movie,
which is fine because I always love it when I can't predict a movie. You see enough of them and you can call every, you know, and it's like, okay, I like them not necessarily going, but don't show it without some kind of payoff. Explain. Mm-hmm. So why was he? Is it just space madness?
I think. You know? Yeah, I don't know why he started talking. But somehow he convinces himself to.
He goes and gets the gun.
Well, he does a 3D printer
talking to himself.
That's what I mean. Is just this madness because you're supposed to, I think, take it as
because of how we understand what the German is doing in the alternate universe. It's like,
oh, I see.
I think his alternate universe self is
his alternate mind is splicing in with his regular
dum.
So he's getting
because the German is bad in the alternate
that's
universe.
So he's getting
right,
some
right
of those
on,
memories
right.
Okay
right.
that's kind of cool.
I was like, well, I think he's like, you know, he his wires are crossed.
I didn't think of the what that's kind of
that
cool.
Makes sense.
That is kind of cool.
Okay, all right.
So he gets a gun and goes after the German, who is kind of disobeying.
He's got
David
stuff.
He's super shady.
Yeah. Because he's like, well, I don't answer to him. And he and the Asian woman, they have a romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. And they're like,
so
we're going to save ourselves.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder. Absolutely. I was thinking like that it was kind of becoming that.
No. They have a history.
Okay.
And so he points the gun at them, but then starts just grossly first foaming like he's having a seizure
or something.
He's vomiting,
pukes.
Blood
he pukes first, and then they're just like, get him to the sick bay. They get him to sick bay.
Well, the worms are missing.
Right. Ugh. And then all of a sudden he sits up.
I think this is a great gross horror.
It's a good little sci-fi.
It's Alien.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's exactly what it is.
But it was fine.
But with the worms, that is so much, to me, grosser than just an alien. Like, that gets into really gross.
I think there's
worms spit out.
Chris O'Dowd, where he's just like, well, we found the worms.
Yeah, that's creepy crawly. You know, like, that's, yeah.
So, we lose that guy. So then Chris O'Dowd loses his arm. They find his arm, and he's
they put in like a little
and he was just like, hey, be careful, be careful, be careful. And like the thing starts to write, and he was like,
Now this is weird.
I think he wants to write.
So his brain in the alternate universe is thinking this to control his arm to write it, because arms can't control themselves.
Who knows?
So
I don't know.
Never explained.
But the person in control of the arm that knows stuff has to be the alternate guy.
Correct.
Well, so, and they explain it. He goes, are you doing this? And he goes, no.
Yeah,
because right now I'm giving you the finger.
Yeah. And he can't,
that was a good line.
And he can't feel it. So he doesn't have control. So this is the other guy's arm.
The alternate Chris O'Dowd.
But this what does he write?
It tells them open up.
Look in his chest. Yeah. Or yeah, cut him open.
Cut him open.
Yeah.
I think if he could write, it could provide more details.
Probably.
Right.
That's true. Yeah. That's fair.
Like what? Like,
can you keep going?
Yeah.
Like, why am I doing this? So we go. We get to the body of the Russian, and I feel like the doctor's kind of a bitch.
A little bit.
Where I'm just like, it's your job. Cut him open. Like, what
oh,
are you
she
doing?
Says she's not going to
no,
do
no,
it.
No, no, he. It's, that's
or he
the,
says he's not
yeah,
going
to like,
do it.
No.
He's like,
no.
I don't know. This is icky.
Yeah. This is gross. I don't want to do it.
I think it's because it's his.
Doctors hate gross stuff.
Right. I think it's
so sexist that you assume the doctor was a woman, Kevin.
Oh. What? I think it's because for 2 years he was their, you know,
who
compadre,
is that guy?
I think.
I recognize that guy, too.
Monk.
That wasn't Tony Shalhoub.
No. His name is Monk. In the show.
No. I know. I know Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah, that's John.
No, his name is Monk.
That's John Ortiz.
Correct.
He was in
Kong Skull Island.
Oh, he's the guy. Yeah, okay.
He was in Fast and Furious.
Yeah, I know who he is.
He was in Miami Vice. He was in Silver Linings Playbook.
Okay.
And in Alien vs. Predator. There's your real.
That's the one that I know him from.
It is.
Yeah. I don't think I ever saw that. Did I?
Oh, I can't.
I'm sure I did.
A,
it's so bad.
That's a long shot right there.
So they open him up, and then inside his stomach
Tesseract.
Is the Tesseract, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Cosmic cube.
Right.
Yeah. The Infinity Stone is in his stomach.
Yeah.
And I do like all
Loki
their...
Loki shows up, and he's like, bitch,
that's
where it was.
I do like all their faces where they're just like, what is going on? Like, what is happening?
I mean, I like that. I like that
it's
in his stomach.
I'm
like, this is cool.
I'm with it. Yeah.
Again, so I didn't hate this, but I'm not looking at it at the same point Chris is looking at it. Right. If I loved the mythology, and I
love
that first one, but I mean, if
I
knew...
One and two are great movies.
But if I knew more about it, I'm sure I would be disappointed. As like a little Netflix horror film, like, this is creepy, this is kind of gross and cool and sci-fi. It's not perfect, but I'm like,
let's do it.
Yeah.
So they put they're just like, okay, I guess they wash it off, and they put it into the machine.
No, it works better.
Working.
Star map comes up.
Correct.
Yeah.
Boop. And it immediately finds the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like,
it would be the shiny
well, they're like, go
thing.
On the other side of it, though.
Right.
Did you guys look on the other side?
I know. I was just like, did you look out the other window?
I'm
right.
Sorry.
That was my problem.
The sun is fairly large.
And you're spinning.
I don't think it's the fact that they didn't know the sun. I think that, like, obviously Earth was behind it. So I think they're like, well, we don't see Earth anywhere.
If memory serves, when they power up the star map, they find some constellation.
Yeah.
But
some guy goes,
backwards.
Wait a minute, it's upside down.
Yeah.
And then, like, the light bulb goes on and goes, I know where we are.
Go look out the rear
view
window.
This, turn this way, and they're like, we're on the other side of the galaxy.
Don't. So they start picking up signals, and they're just like,
yep.
We got it. Like, all we have to do is get back to there. And at this point, like,
is the girl from
the girl,
wall
she's starting
still
to wake
this,
up.
Okay. Yeah.
And then, like, the picture changes. Like, the
yeah,
picture on the wall changes.
I'm
and
like,
I was
yeah.
just like,
what is
okay,
going on here?
So now we're getting into some time travel, some
cool.
alternate dimension stuff. So she's super freaked. The gal they find on the wall is super freaked out. So our main character kind of walks
Ava.
In. Ava walks in with her, and she was just like,
or Via, sorry, Olivia, right?
Something like that.
Is that the movie I just watched? Yeah, she's Via because she's Olivia.
I don't know. I don't remember anybody.
Unless
names.
I watched another movie that had Olivia in it, but I think
maybe you watched a movie in an alternate timeline.
Oh, was I transported?
Let me see your eyes. You got both your arms.
Yeah, you're good.
So far, so good. Let's cut them open and see if there's any arms.
Perfect.
So she kind of sits down. She's like, I don't understand the gal.
What are you doing
here? She's like, why are you here? And she's just like, what are you talking about? She was just like, you weren't supposed to be, you're back on Earth.
In the alternate timeline, she is still a part of the crew, but she's their
she stayed home.
Commander, their support from the ground.
She's their Earth liaison.
Yes.
Yeah, she's Gary Sinise.
She is Gary
Sinise.
So we find out.
She's Babs.
She's Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah. Lieutenant Dan. We find out that the reason there was some pain going on in the beginning of the movie is that our version of this character installed a power converter, I guess, so that
a life hack.
Yeah, basically. So that her kids could read at night and not have to worry about. And because of that, she set the house on fire.
That'll teach all you hippies installing your solar panels and your reading.
That's what happens when you illegally siphon energy, you damn hippies. Mm-hmm.
And she kills her kids. In our world, and in this world, in the original world that we are brought into, she kills her kids.
It's a terrible tragedy have to live with. I mean,
and
then
what's even worse is this woman's like, nah, man, like, they're right there. You want to see them?
Yeah.
And she was just like, Yeah. And then, of course, there is the family. And
she's so good. I think she's really good.
She's really good. Yeah.
She's easy on the eyes.
The problem.
Did you see? Did you see Beauty and the Beast? You took it out. You didn't see that? Like, at the end when she turns into a human from the feather duster? Like, she's gorgeous.
All right. So
it's true.
I believe. Yeah. I mean, from what I saw of her here, I don't disagree.
It's a quantifiable fact.
Yeah. I just think maybe the maid outfit kind of. If you,
it helps.
It helps.
Kevin's like, beauty is no longer in the eye of the beholder. It's just a statement of fact.
Statement of fact.
Yeah. That Lumiere, lucky man.
The cast is not the problem.
It's because he's got two candlesticks.
Yeah,
right? That's why.
It's three. His head's one.
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah, but they're on fire.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Not always. He can light. And,
I guess
and,
that's true.
Yeah.
So the Cloverfield monster.
Cloverfield
monster.
Oh, so she, this is another part I kind of had an issue with, where she was like, no, I'm going to go to Earth. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but your other self is there.
Right.
You can't go to Earth.
Like, yes. Doc Brow taught us a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in this timeline, they don't have a Back to the Future.
Yeah. That's true. They could not have Back to the Future. Yeah. Robert Zemeckis could have.
It's the darkest timeline.
Oh, it is.
And she's. Yeah. It's one of those things. It's like.
Like her reasoning.
It's like, you're just going to be in the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because like, there's a you there.
There's already a you
that's
there.
Totally good.
Right.
But her kids are alive.
Yep.
But then she's also like, no, I want to
but,
tell
them. Oh, that's very realistic that someone suffering from that trauma would want.
I know. But it's also like, yeah, but you are out of place.
Yeah, she's not being smart, but that is a
perfect. I want to see another movie where she goes to this timeline and has to hunt down and kill herself.
Kill herself?
Yeah. Oh, she takes over herself, so there can only be one.
That's probably why she's going to Earth.
This is the Black Mirror episode.
She's
going to
be
right
like, whoop, hi, family. I'm right back from
you guys watch
outside.
Rick and Morty? First thing I went to. That's great.
So the captain, in his infinite wisdom, is like, yeah, you can go.
Yeah.
Nothing bad can happen.
Bad can happen here. So they decide.
He does try to tell her. It's like, well, you know.
It's not you. Like,
it's not you.
Those aren't your kids.
But okay.
Yeah. So.
Another thing I love when they tackle in time travel stuff where it's like, yeah, it's the same person you know, but you haven't lived through a history with them. Like, that's not really them. They may look like them, but you're going to be different people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's a hard sub for a character and to believably portray that. I mean, that's tough to grasp with because you're emotional, like we were talking about with her wanting to see the kids and to wrap your head around. Because
she's a woman. She's emotional.
I mean, women.
But she can at least be a doctor, though.
Right. She can't. She's allowed to be a doctor.
Yes.
That's true. If Barbie can be a doctor, by God.
Yeah.
Love that show. I know you just watched that.
What?
The Toys That Made Us. They did the Mattel episode.
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh,
I watched
amazing.
The
Watch them immediately.
Watch all of them.
The He-Man episode is brilliant.
Immediately. Get to it. I can't wait for Star Trek in the next four. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the gal who was stuck in the wall kind of says, like, I'll help you because, I guess we should
say starting to make the evil face.
Well, she says we don't have a navigator or whatever.
We
do.
But we keep losing people, right?
Right, so, but we do have one. She's like,
we also should point out by this point, they've seen news footage from, we'll call it Earth B.
Yeah.
And they're in full on world war.
You get sued if you
over energy.
Oh, they already have broken.
Yeah,
they're full on.
War's already happened.
Yeah. Countries are attacking each other. There's full on war because there's no energy.
Right.
And we do find out that the German in the alternate universe
did sabotage.
Was sabotaging.
Right.
And did.
everything that the guy accused him of.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we'll call it.
So because there's no energy, they're having a war which requires a lot of energy.
Have you met our president?
It's a rock.
Right.
Touche.
Yeah.
It's toupee.
Toupee. Toupee.
Now, wait a minute. This is an alternate universe, so we don't know who's president over there.
He could have a lifetime
and
president.
And this is 2020 something.
2028.
No, no. So. In theirs, Trump passed a law that said, I'm president of life.
Is it like Nixon, Watchmen?
No, it's Escape from LA.
I'm not sure that's how laws work, but okay.
And tell him that.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I don't think Trump knows how laws work anyway.
Laws worked yet?
Moving on.
Kevin voted for Trump. That's the problem.
I'm just saying, let's not get political on the show.
Why? We got a political podcast. Shared the episode.
Keep moving.
It's like, we don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
So we should say that the Chinese gal realizes that the reason this thing isn't working is because they haven't ventilated this water supply.
Yeah.
So she goes into the airlock. Something breaks, and she is stuck. And they're trying to get her out. And at the last possible, this is actually kind of cool.
She's about to drown.
Like, I actually liked this a lot.
Uh-huh.
Is the airlock breaks. And everything immediately freezes with her in it. And
she's about to drown. But guess what? It's okay because she's frozen.
Frozen.
I love it when space.
I guess I'd rather freeze to like immediately than drowned.
I love it when space.
She's flash frozen for freshness.
So she'll be fine when Daniel Brühl defrosts her.
Power defrost. She's good to go.
When that thing comes back and crashing down, she will be fine.
Yes.
Yep. Too bad she didn't have the force.
She'll thaw out and be good to go.
Well, she never got pulled out of the thing. She was stuck in the.
Well, she's still in space.
That's true.
Yeah. And starting to get frozen.
So we've lost her. So now we don't have
Tam.
Now you're down to like four people.
Right. We're. It's kind of like the movie Life, where we're losing people constantly.
It
was named ironically, like when you call a big guy.
Oh my gosh! Yes, so correct. Her name. Yeah. I just happened to watch two movies in a row. Her name is Ava. I just watched a movie where someone's named Via, short for Olivia. Oh, it was Wonder. Is the sister's name Via?
I never saw it.
I don't remember.
You didn't see
it?
You
saw it, but I don't remember.
It was really good, by the way. But
it was.
It's finally on digital, and I watched it. I was dodging it because I'm like, oh, it looks. Sometimes I don't want a sweet or saccharine, you know?
It's very saccharine.
Is that the one with the kids with the face?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's actually.
I mean, I think most movies' kids have faces, though.
Not
you
that
know
kind
that,
of
right?
face.
Okay, fair enough.
But it's actually really good, and the storytelling technique is from multiple kids' point of views.
Yeah, it's.
But her name is Via, short for Olivia.
Sounds right.
And then this movie has Ava. I watched them back to back. So it was just.
Okay.
Correction. Hmm.
So,
but Wonder is really good.
Wonder's good. It's like, even if you don't, it's not like Hallmark bad or anything. It's well done. It's a sweet movie, but it's worth it.
Okay. So now.
And like Star Wars references. I'm like.
Yeah.
You should see it,
Star Wars references.
Tons. And I mean like characters are visual in it, like visible. Like it's interesting how they do it.
Huh. Yeah. So this gal kind of says like, look, I'll help you. I can get you to where you need to go, but I'm going back. She's like, I can't go with you.
And this is Elizabeth Debicki.
Yeah. She's like, I cannot go with you because there's probably a me there. So, like, you'll put me and Ava on this shuttle and we'll get out of here.
Right.
And then everything will be fine. So Daniel Brühl kind of is getting everything set up. And then all of a sudden here she tricks Ava, the alternate reality gal, tricks Ava into sending her on her way. She's like, you're going to be great. You're going to see your family. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Boop. You're on your own. And she was just like, ah, she gets knocked out, I think, technically. Mm-hmm. And then she wakes up and she realizes.
Puts her on a shuttle.
Right. So.
Or an escape pod.
The gal on the wall shoots Daniel Brühl. She's like, look, man, you're the reason we're here. Like, you're going to sabotage everything. She kills Monk. I'm trying to think because
She also like her thing also is, and she even says it later. She's like, am I going to try to save four people rather than save 8 billion?
Right.
Like, I'm going to choose.
So
she's trying to save the world, and she doesn't want them to interfere.
Well, what happens is they're like the Cloverfield station in this world has already crashed.
Correct.
And there is a working station there now. So she is
that has solved the issue.
Correct. And she is not going to allow that to leave with, you know.
And take the answer to the war.
The one thing that fix everything.
I mean, I get her point.
Right. No, I'm just saying, like, that's her motivation.
She isn't mustache twirling. Like, like, well, I'm going to use this power to rule the world. She's like, no, we can save 8 billion people.
We can save the world.
And they're going to try to stop her. So she's like, well, I got my rubber or plastic bullet gun or whatever that thing is. And
so Ava comes to. She gets out of the pod. She stops the thing.
Is it plastic so they could sneak the gun on the ship?
No, like, no.
He's a 3D printer.
He makes it with the 3D printer.
That, that prints food? It's the bagel printer also. Okay, that was like a real 3D printer that can do organic stuff. Okay.
Oh, all right.
Cool.
So there's a fist fight. She, Ava wins the fist fight. I'm trying to think. She shoots a hole like behind
through a video screen.
And now it's Alien 4.
Alien 4. Yep. Yeah. And I was like, at least they didn't show it. Like, this is the one where I was like, this is going to get gross.
I kind of like that she plugs the hole. Like, she sucked through it, but then it kind of stops because her body's plugging
in.
And then
Alien 4.
Was it Alien 4?
Was it a shameless plug?
No, she wasn't really too self-promoting.
She was shameful.
It just,
yeah.
And she kind of felt bad about what she had to do. It was for good, but she,
So now we go, like, this character is taken care of. So we've got.
Daniel Brühl's okay.
But what happened to the captain?
He left in his little circle spinner.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Remember, there was an explosion or something.
Yeah. Okay.
He sacrificed something, and he's like, I can do it.
They go to jettison wherever this explosion was, and the captain realizes the only way that he could disconnect that spinny thing is if this airlock is shut.
That's how we lost Chris O'Dowd.
And he has to be in it in order to turn the wheel after the airlock is shut.
I hate this in futuristic movies just because I always figured there has to be a smarter way to press a button from the other side. Like, I just hate, you know, it's like, get on the door, Jack. There's room for two of you. I just hate when you lose a person.
No, that's not Jack's fault. That was her fault.
No, I know. But
she
I'm saying,
I'm sorry, Jack.
I hate losing people for reasons where you're like,
women hog the bed, man.
And a door, apparently.
Yeah.
I just hate that self-sacrifice type of thing where it's like, when both could live. I mean, I get it's their world and their science, but, like, come on.
But, yeah, that's how we look. Chris O'Dowd goes into this O2 chamber and accidentally gets blown up.
Magnets.
Lots of magnets.
How do they work?
I have no idea.
Ask ICP.
They don't know. They ask them. That's their question.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got our Daniel Brühl and Ava are left, and they're just like, let's do it.
Light it up.
And so they ventilate the water, they power it up, and it works perfectly.
Remember, in order to save Earth B, she sends a message to other her.
Yes.
And she's like, this is going to be weird. I know that you're thinking, what the hell's going on? But I'm you from a parallel universe. Here's the solution to your energy problem.
By the way, unplug that thing.
Yeah. Right. Don't plug in the power converter.
Oh, yeah. Unplug the who's a what's it.
Don't use the crock pot.
Right.
Jack, don't use the crock pot. So then it happens.
Yep.
And bam, we're back on Earth. So
is it, just to get this straight, this ship is the alternate ship?
No, this ship was combined.
So it doesn't have any traits because their thing was totally broken in their universe.
It crashed.
Theirs is gone. So Earth B's.
So are they on their ship?
Yes.
I just want to make sure. Okay. And so their thing works when they fire it up.
Right.
Yes.
Cool.
So we should say that while all this is going on the space station, we've got Ava's husband on Earth, who I guess is a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
This did not make any sense. Like, I didn't get this plot at all. Like, I thought it was going somewhere. So he's driving to. He realizes that all hell is breaking loose on Earth.
There's an earthquake.
Earth A.
Yeah.
Right.
There's
explosions in the distance.
There's
like we've seen this before.
Big shadow.
Right.
Looming. Correct. Yes. So he ends up taking this girl and he calls this guy. And he's like, "Can I use your bunker?" And the guy's like, "Yeah, man, sure." So they go down.
Yeah,
him
it's
and
on
this,
10 Cloverfield Lane.
I know. That's where I thought we were
that's
going.
That's what I did, too.
That's what I thought we were doing.
Yeah. Well, me, too. And I wonder if the bunker is there, but it's a different in the
could
alternate
be.
Universe.
That's
it's
possible.
A different guy who
well,
owns it.
Well, because I don't know.
I haven't looked, but
because they
is it
weren't
the same
in New
bunker,
York.
But with a different
Like, the
owner?
John Goodman wasn't in New York.
He was outside of New Orleans.
Yeah, because there's that scene where Mary Weinstead is like, I can either go towards the city.
True.
Or I can go this way.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Right. She takes off towards Houston.
I forgot all the étouffée.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Because 10 Cloverfield Lane never makes a single reference to New York City or anything that happened in New York.
Right. Okay. Which is why, like, that was one of the things we were talking about where I was just like, they would have seen New York happen. Like,
correct.
The fact that Mary Elizabeth Winstead's just like, what's going on? It was like, but you wouldn't. So now.
Did you explain the time jump? yet, or did you have some kind of point to that earlier?
Which one?
Like the fact that it's so far in the future as opposed
well,
to...
We can get to it.
Okay, okay. Cool. Yeah. I just want to make sure we didn't skip it.
Right,
I
you're going to talk about the thing and
the sink
the crashing
right.
And okay. Into the water when they're on the Ferris wheel?
I'll bring that up.
Okay. No, I yeah, because I'm like, because there's a lot of people talking about what that is
it's
in
not
the very
same.
First movie, and I'm like...
Can't be.
Well, and I'm like, well, that doesn't
have to
be.
Let's wrap it up,
yeah.
And then we can talk
so,
about it.
So they... They get back to their Earth.
They solve it.
They solve it. Everything's good to
they
go.
They start coming home, and the guy
and
calls
the, guy,
the husband.
Like, she's coming. You need to get to X,
well,
Y, and Z.
Does she know?
The guy is repeatedly talking to a dude from NASA.
Right.
Yeah.
And
right.
He's like, you can tell that he's telling him things that you can't hear.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So husband knows what's going on.
Yes.
But has not told us, the viewer, what NASA has told him.
Mm-hmm. Right. So he's just like, you need to get to this spot. Like, now she's going to land in like 5 minutes. And he was like,
does she know what's going on?
He's like,
what
do you mean? Like, what do you mean she's going to land? Tell her to stay up there. He's like, there's nothing we can do. She's on her way. We see the little pod land, like cut through the clouds. And we just assume, and then here comes Cloverfield, the Cloverfield monster up through the clouds.
Or a
Cloverfield. Yeah, a version of that.
Pop up.
And then
a ridiculously larger version.
Much larger version.
Yeah, stupid looking.
But it looks the same. Like, why is it stupid looking?
It's the exact same monster.
It's the exact same monster.
But I'm just saying, to my point earlier,
it looks goofy.
Yes, in this, in 4K, beautiful Netflix.
Yeah.
But I just think it blended in with the cam better. That's all. I just, I'm not a big CG guy, but when you show it clear and you're seeing a CG created thing, it just like, oh. I like the mystery of the first one. Yeah. It was so handheld and, and anyway.
So
it was Godzilla from the point of view of the extras.
It was. Basically. It was point of view of the Godzilla people.
Yeah.
Which is what I loved about it. I liked the movie more about the gimmick than the mythology.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I think sort of the extracurricular world that Chris was talking about, I remember going through all that stuff.
Yeah, it was
too.
Brilliant.
So, it made the movie even better because they like... just of all the stuff they thought about and thought through, and it helped sort of like buoy that movie. Because the movie's a good movie, but I think that made it a better movie.
Agreed.
Versus like,
agreed.
10 Cloverfield Lane is a really good movie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. If we're going for cinematic and plot and everything else, 10 Cloverfield Lane is number one. Almost.
Oh,
easily.
It was fantastic. It was.
Goodman,
it came out of nowhere.
Yes. Right.
Like that's we. I mean, even we decided we were going to do it. We were just like, man, this is going to, like, is it a Cloverfield movie?
Yeah,
we got
thought
to the end
it was
going to
be kind
like,
of a cheap knockout.
Holy
type
cow.
Yeah.
Like, what? That's a movie. So
okay.
So you've got some stuff there, Chris.
So Chris has the floor.
He's cracking his neck.
But that's
how
it ends, though. We see the thing, and it's like,
that's it.
And then, she's landing into that.
Yeah.
So
and it's 2028.
Yes.
Okay.
So let's back up to something we said before we started breaking down this movie, which was that
it's not
after
an Easter
10
movie.
Right. 10 Cloverfield Lane, while it was a Cloverfield movie, was not a linear sequel to Cloverfield.
Correct.
And JJ came out and said, look, I'm going to make a series of movies under this Cloverfield umbrella that they're blood relatives to each other, but they're not necessarily 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Right.
Fine. I'm cool with that. Here's my biggest problem, and then I'll break down why. My biggest problem with this movie. The Super Bowl commercial says something's happened. Find out why they're here. Great. They don't explain why the monsters are here. But you never. And I get sci-fi doesn't need pretty edges and bows on everything. You don't explain why the monsters are here.
I mean, I just finished watching it.
I don't know.
Because is it a sea beast like what's inferred in the ARG what the guy says in the interview? Yeah. Is it an alternate reality monster?
They didn't show us.
Well, they
you have no idea.
But he says, we don't know what this could unleash stuff.
Well, yeah, and it could. He's a guessing.
It could. It's but his... again, I'm going to revert back to the ARG where it's obvious that that thing came from the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, it came from the sea.
Okay.
Because of the sea goo that they use for a drink.
So,
which I'm like,
oh, so
well,
what you're saying? What you're saying is we don't know
you still
where that was under the sea.
Well, you still don't get the answer of why it's here, how it's here, or anything like that.
It doesn't
answer the one question it says it's going to answer.
Okay.
That's pretty misleading.
So, number two, And I'm glad you said that this was not supposed to be a Cloverfield movie. Because when I left 10 Cloverfield Lane, I thought, wow, man, this was really just a sci-fi movie that someone was like, eh, we can make this a Cloverfield movie. Mm-hmm. I watched Cloverfield Paradox and honest to God thought that in post, someone was like, you know what? If we stuck a Taggerado sticker on and this energy bank here,
a little slush-o.
And a slush-o bobblehead here, and the last scene of the movie put a picture of the monster, we have a Cloverfield movie. That is the only thing this has to do with being a monster movie.
That's why I think it's a...
This is a...
It's marketing. It's they had a stinker on their hands.
This is a straight-to-the-internet sci-fi space... like disaster movie that is a ripoff of Event Horizon, Life, and Alien, that they were like, crap, how do we shine this piece of turd? Call it a Cloverfield movie.
And put it on Netflix.
Absolutely.
And thirdly, like, you could have made this so much more of a Cloverfield movie if you took even 20 minutes away from what's happening in the station and expanded on what's happening on Earth.
Yeah,
I could see that.
So now let's break down all the things that the people are talking about. I'll do the one cool thing first. If you start Cloverfield Paradox and the very first Cloverfield at the same time, and there's a debate on if this is coincidence or not, and it's too perfect for it to be coincidence.
That's,
at the 18-minute and 20-second mark of both films, in Cloverfield Paradox is where they have the accident on the space station that sends them to the alternate reality. At that exact same second of the original Cloverfield is where the earthquake and power outage happens in New York.
That's cool.
That's pretty smart.
So that dovetails perfectly into each other.
Right.
I love that. If they would have nailed more stuff like that, because that's so cool to show.
Agreed.
You know, the parallel.
The... At the end of the very first Cloverfield, and you have to pay attention because it's hard to see, but again, like the internet went crazy about it, you see a satellite or something fall from the sky and land in the ocean off the coast of Coney Island. Everybody assumes that that is Ava's escape pod, but it can't be because Ava's in 2028.
Yeah,
this that you see dropping is... earlier than 2008 because it's older footage from before the first Cloverfield movie.
Can I throw something out there for you?
Sure.
Okay. So since we're dealing with time and alternate dimensions, is it possible that...
they came back in time?
Well, that the thing that we're seeing is that reality's space station or satellite.
Possible.
Right.
But again,
they don't tell you anything.
Takes me back to my original problem in this movie. They don't explain it.
That's true. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, there. So when you start playing with alternate dimensions and timelines, granted,
you can
we
make
are
up
in,
whatever you want.
If we're in 2028, we could say that something happened on the space station and they jump back to 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they are.
Which also means that this reality, the Cloverfield Paradox monster in 2028, cannot be in the same universe because they would have had that same monster attack New York 20 years earlier.
Yeah, I don't. That's what I understand.
Yeah.
And this was kind of reported. I think JJ said this after the first Cloverfield. The Cloverfield monster you see in the first one is a baby.
Yeah.
Which is why it's the size of skyscrapers. Mm-hmm. This one is piercing the stratosphere. Mm-hmm.
That's also true. Yep.
It's infinitely bigger than the one you see in the first one.
Wait a minute. Are we to believe that this is that one grown up in this universe?
Could be.
You don't
because
know.
Because I'm trying to figure out, okay, in this, see, this timeline, everyone's at war. We have this huge Cloverfield monster. What if in the first timeline, that thing never existed in 2008, but in this alternate universe, 2008, we saw happen, and this is the monster grown up? Wouldn't that line up more, though?
It could.
Because otherwise, how do you explain that in 2000 that these people in 2028 or whatever didn't know about the incident?
Yes.
It has to have not happened
correct.
In their timeline.
Correct.
It has in this one.
That's other problem is, if we're going to say that it's from another dimension, then we're dealing with an unmentioned third dimension.
Yes.
Because
10 Cloverfield Lane would be its own dimension.
Well, okay, then a fourth.
Okay.
Because in this movie, when they transport to Earth B, there's no mention of monsters. There's no report. Like, I'm sorry, if I'm the chick from the other world, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, and by the way, in our world, there's giant monsters that rule the Earth.
Or, oh, they're at war, and there's monsters.
Or when they're showing the war, there's no mention of, like, in the news today, Moscow was invaded by, you know, Poland, and also a giant monster destroyed New York City.
I would also think that if it's been 30 years of these huge monsters, like, the people at war aren't going to be worried about
each other?
Human war.
Exactly.
For 30 years, there's months, you know. So maybe it is a different one then.
There's, and like, there's some people who, that's their favorite thing about it. It's like, oh my God, it opened up so many different alternates and things like that. And that's fine.
It opened up so many lazy plot devices.
Yes. Yeah.
Explain, connected to the first one. That's what we needed.
It's easily explained away by like, well, alternate reality, bro. Right.
It's
ultimate Deus Ex Machina.
It's what Heroes did with
it is exactly what Heroes
the character
did.
Hero and,
save the cheerleaders
and
the
time travel. Time travel.
Yeah.
Like they would write themselves into a corner. Those writers would get fired. They bring in new writers and they'd go time travel.
Well, I'll go back and fix it.
Flashpoint.
Yeah. So, but again, like my main problem with this was that number one, they don't address what they tell you they're going to address.
Misleading
is how and why they're here. And secondly,
but in the filmmaker's defense, that could have been a marketing decision,
not
a filmmaker's
decision. Like, I was ready for God Particle to come out in theaters. I've been like, I love the Cloverfield franchise, and the first one is one of my favorite movies. But when this came out, I was like, hell yes! Like, I even emailed my boss. I'm like, I'm going to be tired as hell tomorrow because I'm staying up to watch this movie. But I felt like, man, this is really just something that somebody in the studio was like, we got to save this. Let's call it a Cloverfield movie.
It's shoehorned. That's all it is.
I am waiting to see how the fourth one, which is coming out later this year.
No way.
Yes.
Really? Oh, yeah. Oh, they've already got
it. It's done. It's done.
Okay.
It's called Overlord. It takes place in World War II, the day before D-Day, where the Americans invade a town in Germany. And the Nazis are doing experiments with something supernatural.
Oh.
Bring it on.
So,
and Grindelwald is there.
So, like, is this going to explain the backstory of how the Tagarado Corporation got started with Japan?
Or why the Germans are...
Yeah, you don't know. But
how the Red Skull got
the Tesseract.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Why his face looks like that.
I mean, look, I have all faith in the world in J.J. Abrams. I'm sure that there is a grand vision.
JJ's the director where I said, if you can give JJ a blank check and give him Superman, he's gonna make the greatest Superman movie ever.
It will probably happen. He's done Star Wars, he's done Star Trek, and made good movies.
He's locked in with Disney.
If this had
I think JJ can bounce around wherever he wants. Know. He owns his own company. He's not under contract with one company.
If they had just said, hey, this is a Cloverfield movie, I would have been fine with it.
Okay.
My only problem was you came out and said this is a prequel.
Yeah.
Or at least this is going to explain the holes in the first one.
Unless we're not smart enough and someone finds some like tiny thing that's like.
I think the fact that we've already found the sink within the first 20 minutes, I'm sure there's more there than in the weeks to come. And again, like the ARG game is back up and running now.
Oh, that's neat.
Like John Goodman's character from 10 Cloverfield Lane worked for a branch of government called Bold Futura. I'm sorry, worked for a branch of Tagarado, which is this parent company called Bold Futura. They made the space station.
Huh.
The dude who gives the interview in
Donald Loge.
He has the same last name.
I thought
as John Goodman's character.
Oh.
So is it his brother? Is it his cousin? Right. So like,
and they look like they could be related.
Yeah, they are intertwining them, but it's like
more to come,
right?
More to come.
So I'm still hopeful. I still love the franchise. I'm going to see Overlord or whatever they decide to call it the day it comes out, when it comes out.
Cloverfield Overlord.
Yeah, but
Cloverlord.
Man, talk about a movie that was released in such a cool way with such awesome hype that to me was just nothing more than a wet fart.
I don't even think there was a hype. Like, it was just like, oh, by the way,
well,
it's out.
The hype of that day.
Yeah,
it hijacked the Super Bowl.
It did.
It was trending just as high as everything on the Super Bowl on Twitter.
Yeah.
So
the internet lost its mind.
Right.
So if I'm Reed Hastings, I'm A-okay with all of this. Because Netflix,
you're watching.
They were the winner.
Oh hell yeah!
Oh for sure.
And I think they said they paid $50 million.
Yeah.
For it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I don't know how Netflix like makes money besides subscribers.
Very well.
That's how.
Very
keep them
very easily.
I mean, but I mean, like when you can say. I'll pay $50 million for that movie. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know how you figure out
where's the profit.
How you figure out what's worth it to keep people what you know what I mean?
Like, they have so many. Like Netflix knows when you pause.
Right. Oh, like, that's fine.
I get all that. I'm just saying. That. Even with all that, I don't get how you make a decision of we're getting $10 a month from people and we're getting $10 a month from 40 million people or whatever. It's... And if I spend $50 million on this movie, they will continue to give us $10.
That's how they know. I just mean their analytics are so in depth. Like they know that with this movie, if this many people didn't drop off or new subscribers and they watched five other things.
That's what you're banking on, is that you're going to put out stuff that brings new subscribers in. They've missed now with two movies. But I'll guarantee you they've offset that with the subscribers they brought in on Stranger Things.
Yeah, but
what are you saying? The other movie are you saying is it the Will Smith movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, Bright. I think
Bright.
Yeah. I have not
people
seen
love
it yet.
That
the
movie.
But I will say from what I've read, as much as people hate it, there are people out there that love that movie.
Love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever they're doing is working. We've committed 3 podcasts to Netflix originals.
Yep, yeah, that's true.
You know?
Sure.
If they just dumped these on DVD, we wouldn't have.
No, we would never
but
even
Death
seen
Note,
it.
Death Note, we're like, let's do Death Note.
Right.
Actually, because we did two. They did both their Christmas movies.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
So, I mean, when you think about it, it's like, I mean, we don't do that for other networks.
Yeah.
No, because I don't think other networks are putting out movies. Right. I think other networks are putting out TV shows.
Is Prime putting out? I know they're putting out original content shows, but are they putting out movies?
I don't know that I've seen them do any movies.
Yeah, I thought they had
Amazon Studios sticks with the theater, and then they'll go on Prime.
I think where Netflix might run into a problem is in the short term, what they're doing is very similar to the kind of business model that Howard Stern invented,
yes,
which is the people that love you listen for 2 hours, but the people that hate you listen for 4 hours.
Right.
And so they can get people to hate watch these movies, but the problem they might have is that over time, while they get that initial burst of activity and engagement, if you do that to people enough,
they're going to walk away.
Over time, they're going to say, I've watched 10 Netflix movies, and 9 of them have sucked. And
I'm not going to come back for
burn me
11.
Once, shame
but
on you. But
they're also on top of original programming like that, and like Stranger Things, which was a hit.
Yeah.
They're also getting back into the business of bringing back hit shows from the last 10, 20 years. And people like they've done it with
Fuller House.
They've done it with Arrested Development.
They hit that nostalgia button.
Right.
Yeah.
So
and they've done reboots. They like One Day at a Time.
They did them 1 Day at a Time. Reboot?
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Yeah.
If I'm them, I'm going after everything TGIF that I can get.
So here's the problem they're going to run into, honestly, is Disney's going to start their own service. So you're going to lose all of your Marvel stuff.
Yes.
You're going to lose everything that's Touchstone, everything Disney. They're all going to go. And Disney's going to start putting out. I mean, we already know that the guys from Game of Thrones are going to have their own Star Wars stuff. There's going to be independent Marvel stuff. Mm-hmm. There's going to be, you know, Disney originals. They're going to have all this stuff on Disney streaming service.
But not anything R-rated.
Yeah, Miramax stuff.
Which is smart.
But that's not the Disney brand. If you're gonna brand the streaming service Disney,
and it wasn't.
You can't have...
Touchstone wasn't Disney. Miramax
wasn't
Disney.
Can't have the R-rated stuff on there.
I totally agree.
Which,
I mean, it has to be a haven.
That stuff will probably end up on Hulu, honestly.
It is.
Like, Hulu is now part of Disney.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Netflix...
Deadpool will be on Hulu.
Absolutely.
Right.
So Netflix is going to have to... You know, and I think Reed Hastings even said... I want the weird stuff.
Yeah.
Like, give me that stuff that's like, Stranger Things got passed on by everybody.
Yeah.
And
because people are willing to give it a chance.
Yeah.
Because they view it as like, well, it didn't cost us anything.
I'm not paying
right.
for, like, it's 10
they don't
bucks.
Look at that. That they don't look at the monthly fee as
Hell
like
no.
right,
like that's spent. That money is already spent.
Yeah.
I mean, two so Starbucks like, cost a Netflix a month. I mean, right. you know, it's nothing. That's why I don't think people will cancel. People are like, oh, Disney's coming. I mean, I'll have both.
I'll have both.
I'm not
yeah, I'll just get both.
Yeah, there's it's no like 10, 12, whatever
you know what
it
do?
Is.
I'm gonna drop. I'm gonna drop the 4K.
Yeah.
From Netflix because yeah. I don't like they don't have enough content.
Yeah,
in 4K,
save that few bucks
and
I'll
just
move
go
over
to
it. Yeah.
Move
yeah.
It and pick up.
So
Disney's
they're not
well.
Gonna. The parents will have Netflix still. The kids will you know have Disney.
Yeah,
it's
you're
not
gonna give me a Game of Thrones style Star Wars mm-hmm. show. Sign me up.
Yeah.
You know? So Star Wars with boobs.
Sign me up.
Space boobs.
What happened?
Jabba the Hutt's boobs.
The last
we already
thing
got those.
That I'll, the last thing I'll mention on the Cloverfield front is we made a lot of mention of this ARG that's been going on since
which is an augmented reality game.
Right. There is a website called Cloverfield Clues. It's a Blogspot. It's a Blogspot. If you just type in Cloverfield Clues into Google, it'll take you to the site. It's a website that since the inception of the original game has linked and stored and giving you the roadmap of the entire game from
That's
inception
cool.
until today as we're recording this. So if you're a fan of the movies or you're just a fan of like really cool viral marketing, how to do that, you could go there and it will take you from like, this is how it started. And then it opened up to this and followed this. It basically gives you the breadcrumb trail mm-hmm. that takes you through all of the movies. And it's honest to God, a really cool thing that, it definitely helps with the first movie, but it will also kind of fill in some of the blank spots between all three.
Awesome.
Cool.
Great.
We'll have to check that out then.
Cool. So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
I do, and it's kind
it's
of
called
a,
Life. No.
Nope. It's actually a movie that, in a way, is sort of like a parallel version of this. It's a 2000 and I want to double check the time. It's a small indie movie from 2011. Okay. Written by Britt Marling from the OA from Netflix, called Another Earth.
This island Earth?
No.
Oh.
No, Another Earth. And it's basically, it's a very small $100,000 budget movie where we basically find that there is a parallel Earth that has appeared. And we find out that there are parallel us on this Earth. So anyway, she plays a girl who, you know, after this discovery, she had a few too many. She's really young. She's driving home. She's staring up at the planet and then drives right into a dude's car and kills his pregnant wife and his kid.
Did you say what year this was from?
2011.
Man, this sounds super familiar.
It's really good. She ends up going to jail, but she's juvenile, so her name doesn't get released. And when she gets out, she decides she wants to make amends and go to this guy. And sort of she loses it. And, you know, she's not able to admit who she is. So she ends up becoming his maid and they end up becoming very
yeah.
close and friends.
Oh, wow.
And
is this on Netflix?
It's no.
OK.
No, it's really good. It's really worth checking out. It is a much deeper, very slower, cerebral kind of version. But it's the parallels between this. And Cloverfield, I was just like, wow, they're really very similar. But it's sort of like the back end where it's like this girl is, you know, she's realizing that there's another self of her there. And perhaps maybe she didn't make the same mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. If you haven't seen it, it's worth checking out. It's a little slow and it's not there's not a lot of action, but it's worth your time. It's
sounds
a,
fascinating.
A walk and talk.
A little bit.
Stand around and talk.
Yeah, it's very moody. It's very moody. There's a lot of quiet parts, okay. But if you like things like Safety Not Guaranteed, or you know, even the OA, I would say,
I
you
did
know,
not
that,
like
that. Well,
what is the OA? Remind
no,
me.
The OA.
Oh,
is that an alien thing?
No,
or what?
No, it's on Netflix. It's it's very divisive.
What's the genre? What is it about?
Sci-fi. It's like
a
sci-fi,
sort of
sci-fi drama.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, of course.
So I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Chris. You can find me on Twitter at Hossapalooza.
And this is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket or check out ReviewSTL.com. We've got some pictures of Comic-Con. So we had Sean Astin was here. Sean Bean was here. The Winter Soldier, Sebastian Stan. So we've got
someone not named Sean.
Jeff Galooly, yeah. I think, is what
yeah,
you meant to
yeah, say. Yeah, who looks very different because he's filming a movie where he's like a narc.
He's kind of gaunt, right?
Well, yeah, and he's like a narc. He has a buzzed hair and then like a goatee. And so, he, you know, I expected Winter Soldier, and I got like this gang member coming, you know. But he was cool. So I have some video and photos from the celebrity guests.
Cool. And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/RealSpoilers or at our website, realspoilers.com. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. Don't forget about iTunes. Rate, review, subscribe. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the next one is
Black Panther.
Is that what, is that
it's
what
an we're Easter doing? Movie, right?
We're, yeah, I believe it's an Easter movie, yeah. And so that's we're going to go ahead and do that one then?
I think that's what we should do.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to circle back around and get 1517 to Yuma or whatever it was called?
1517 to Yuma.
You know what? Actually, I feel like that's going to do perform better, so we should probably check that one out.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think there's any pre-sales for Black Panther, is there?
I've like, never heard of it.
No one's.
Nope. Yeah. We'll see. So I guess that's what we'll
if you
do.
Don't leave us a review, we're
yeah,
doing Rock
Dog. Yeah, we're doing Rock Dog. So thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Jim woke Aurora up on purpose.
I know that there is one lingering question in the back of your minds, and that question is, how the hell do you pronounce his name? It's okay. It's all right. I've been there, and I'm here to help. So if you will say it with me now, David Oyelowo. Oyel. 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 Oh, yellow, 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 whoa. Oh, yellow, whoa.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.